Okay, brothers, good morning. How are you today?
Amen.
Found in Christ?
Amen.
Not having your own righteousness, which is of the law? Amen?
Amen.
Good. But the righteousness that is of Him and in Him.
Amen.
Okay, well, this morning, this first session, I have a lot of burden on a very special matter. And I consider this both, of course, you will see this is a very immediate, even urgent burden. On the other hand, I like to make use of this burden as a perfecting moment, as a opportunity to perfect all of us in the body life. This morning I couldn't sleep, and so I, as we all do, I look at my phone. And, well, there was a letter that I have not received personally because they are sent to elders and leading brothers. So I assume that some of you might have received it. And that is a letter sent on behalf of the church in Addis Ababa. And I'm going to have Don Mangold read that letter, which is not a long letter, in a moment. And in brief, this is the need. We were there in this fall, last year's fall Idaho. In Addis Ababa, and I think a number of us were there. And as you may recall, we were in the book of Acts concerning the propagation, something like this. I even forgot the subject. But little did we know of the impact of that iteral, its first such event in the continent of Africa. And the brothers felt very much, because of that visit or that iteral, they really confirmed further. We had, I think, some big meetings before in Addis a few years back, but not an iteral like this. And they were burdened, they were strengthened, they were feel affirmed. And so they had the burden to pray for several weeks, the church in Addis Ababa. The brothers told us that two-thirds or three-quarters of the saints regularly attend the prayer meeting rather than 10% show up, two-thirds to three-quarters. Come to the prayer meeting. And they have some very dear young full-timers there. They don't even have a training center. They're about to start a bona fide FTT. FTTAB, right? And they don't even have that. They just have some full-time pursuit for this group of dear, very lovely young people. And we met them, by the way. And they spearheaded this prayer for Ethiopia. And even the Lord burdened them to fast, the whole church to fast repeatedly. And just a few weeks later of this kind of a prayer, the Lord began to work, or the Lord has been working already, but there arose these various groups of college students in a number of cities, not in Addis Ababa, hours of drive to some of these cities. Some of them are like our kind of college towns where it's just a small town but a big university kind of situation. And these are all Christians, and amongst them, those who have gotten hold of Watchman Nee and read the ministry in that way. And so you can say they're seeking. And apparently there's a kind of network of these young people. And came in contact, the brothers visit them, multiple visits, and they had a burden to have some special meetings for these ones. These are not church life people. These are just seeking college age. And so they held two weeks training, special training. The first was attended by 200, and the second attended by 300, auto 500 attended that. This is probably early part of just this year. And because of that, so many of them will set a fire and begin to touch the things of the recovery, begin to respond. Word passed on. And they start to invite the brothers to come. They said, I don't know which town, which I have no idea, but almost like if you come and speak to us, we can get thousands for you in some place. We'll get thousands. You come and speak to us. And then the next thing is what this recent, this burden that I'm talking about this morning, and that is now the brothers there decided to have a training for these people, these outsiders, training. How long is the training? 1 week, I think, huh? 1 week training. And thousands of them applied to come to this training. Can you imagine thousands in the U.S. campuses applied to a one-week training? And people never know the recovery, never even touched the coming. And the brothers have to vet that to make sure those who would apply and register would be the serious ones. So some are turned back. Now, bottom line, 2,300 young men and women are registered in this training in Addis Ababa. 1 week of training. And the letter is now sent out that we will read for financial help because these people have no money. You know, over there, if you've been there, the living conditions among the locals still very, very poor, you know, compared to us. And so there's a financial need. And you will see to cover each one of these 2,300's costs per week is something like $104 US. US, $104. Compared to champagne, 1 week, how much is that? I don't even know. $400-$500? Something like that. And times 2,300, that comes up to about $250,000, roughly. $250,000, okay? They need this to cover these costs of these new ones. So I like, Don, if you have the letter, to please come and read it to the saints. Some of you have it already, but please come and read it. Yeah, you need this. So please pay attention.
Okay. Dear brothers, we are writing this report to update all the saints and the churches in the Lord's recovery of what the Lord has been doing among us in Ethiopia in his move. Since the Itero last year and Addis Ababa in 2018, the Lord has opened many doors in the universities in Ethiopia. In December 2018, we were invited to speak to a group of about 50 seeking students in the Southwest. This opened a way for many students in other universities to hear the word. As a result of such developments, we held a one-week training for the students, and we had 500 students in two rounds during the term break. Those who came to these trainings were so touched by the truth and the testimony that when they went back to their respective campuses, they began to share the materials and the messages to their friends. Since then, we have been going to these various campuses to visit the groups of students who are open. Many of these students expressed their desire to come for a longer time of training during the summer. After much prayer and consideration, we opened up the registration for these ones to apply for the training in the summer. We asked the coordinating students to carefully select and send us the names of those who are serious and genuinely seeking. The applications came from over 25 universities, and the number of those who have registered is 2,300. We were forced to close registration due to the high numbers. All these students are so eager and full of anticipation. They are ready to pay any price to come despite the false accusations and slanderous talk they hear against us.
There's opposition. Yeah. Ethiopia.
For practical purposes, we are considering to divide this large number into three different groups and hold the training in three different times and places, 1 week long training for each group, with two in July and one in early August. From our experience with the 500 in the winter and our current assessment, the average cost of carrying this out is, in U.S. dollars, $105 per person for 1 week, so an estimated total of $241,500 for all of the 2,300 students. As this is a body matter, we present it to the churches for their prayer and support. We look to the Lord for his leading, wisdom, and supply to fully gain this group of young people for his testimony and advancement in Africa. We remain open to the Lord's leading and fellowship in the body, in Christ, the brothers in Addis Ababa.
The two of the main leading co-workers and elders in Addis came to Anaheim and spend about 3 weeks or 4 weeks at the training center, FTTA, because they're going to launch the FTT Addis Ababa this fall. And so they came to learn, you know, pick up something in the FTT, and they met with different brothers. I had an occasion to meet with two of them. One is Tetla, you know that brother. There's another brother, I forgot his name. Very, very dear and pure brothers, what can I say? Just gems. And they are now in their 40s. They came into the recovery about 15 years ago in Ethiopia as young people. Today they are the leading ones. Very sober. Just solid, solid. And I feel very, very confident, not only in the capacity of these ones, but in the purity of these ones, which is more important, actually, than the capacity. I said, if you have brothers like this in a country, it's going to be okay. So this morning I saw this. This letter has been out for a couple of days already, I think, but it's the first time I saw it. So I'm going to write to the elders in Irvine, okay, about this burden. But this morning, I want to share this burden with you, Northern California churches. I'll tell you what is my burden, practically. Okay, the number is 250, roughly, okay, round number, $250,000 to cover this 2,300 in three 1 week trainings in July and August, which means immediately. It's around the corner. I have a burden that we will not give them, we, meaning the churches all over, will not only give them the bare minimum of $250,000. I like to see the churches in North America give four times that, $1 million. $1 million. So I was here joking with the brother upstairs, not really joking, but speaking in a language that you should understand because you're in Silicon Valley, the land of the startups. So I liken this to a startup. This actually is not startup because they start up 15 years ago. This is Series B, maybe, or whatever. But let's say it is a startup because it's still in a startup mode. Okay, let's put it that way. And now, you know, the startup, it takes, you know, to come up with a minimum viable product, to do the alpha testing, beta testing, and then you start to roll and test the product, and then and you iterate this and that, and then it's ready to go, and then from there on, you just basically it's marketing and customer service. You build up all the infrastructure and so on. Then you're ready to go. And then at that time, you ask for bigger investments, right? You all know this kind of thing. And, well, brothers, you tell me of another place or another case of 2,300 sight unseen young people who sign up for a training in the Lord's recovery of 1 week. When has that happened last time? I would say no time. Never happened. Never happened. China, Taiwan, U.S., never happened that I know of. This means it's unprecedented what's happening in Ethiopia right now. Now, let me say something here, brothers. I'll tell you, in the Lord's move across the globe, Africa is critical. Today, you may not know, billions and billions of dollars poured into Africa by countries like China, Korea, you know, laying down all these kind of fiber optic thing, you know, people in huts are, you know, have the latest technology. And, of course, they are after the natural resources, which are abundant there. And it's a huge, huge continent called the Dark Continent. But all the many, many countries there of many languages, you know, Portuguese, French, English, and a lot of tribes, you know, with their own dialects. Even within a country, there are a lot of tribe and dialects, even in Ethiopia. And by the way, just on the side, the brothers really are they must start translate the ministry into a couple of dialects in Ethiopia alone. And that needs money. That needs money. And it is brothers like, you know, Brother Lee, when he was alive, sent especially Dick Taylor, Brother Dick Taylor, you know, and Brother James Lee. There were others helping. Even though the recovery started there in Ghana back in the 1960s, late 60s and 70s, unfortunately, the key ones who started that both have dropped out of the recovery. But for years it was in Ghana. And then the Lord, then the South Africa, you know, it's a very good church in Pretoria and South Africa, and then in other scattered parts. And Brother Paul Cook, do you know Paul Cook in London? He's just always running around in Africa in many places, radio stations, contacting people. But this time with Ethiopia, clearly Ethiopia is the key country. You know Ethiopia, where it is, huh? It's in the northern part of Africa, and it is somewhat to the eastern side. I think close to Kenya, am I right? I don't even have the map. Highly educated country, young people there. And Ethiopia has a history even from in Christianity, you know, the various fables and legends, you know, about the Queen of Sheba, you know, all the way back to Solomon's days, and then the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, in Acts 8, whatever, so on and so forth. Long history of Christians. Today there's still the Jews, you know, Ethiopian Jews. Many of them have returned to Palestine. You know, that's another kind of history. The Israel sent planes in the 80s to fly them, you know, to Israel, etc. Okay, the point, brothers, is, do you not agree with me? The Lord is doing something very, very special in that continent right now. 2,300 young people, let's say half of them made it into the recovery. That's a lot of people. Yeah? How long will it take for us to gain 2,300 new college students in the USA? And over there, they're just coming, knocking on the doors, begging to be in training. This is not just a little conference. This is coming to a week-long training. And let me tell you, the Lord's move throughout history, or at least since the existence of this institution called University of, you know, Higher Learning, have always been with college students, just over time, in this country including. Because young people at that age, in the college years, is the time when they are the most open, looking for meaning, looking for purpose, set the direction of their life, build their community, friendship, and so on. No doubt the college years are the years, the best years to gain a human being, a person for the Lord and for the Lord's interest. There's no doubt about it. And many of us are in that category. I surely am. And so, brothers, this has to do, listen, not just with Ethiopia. It has something to do with the whole continent of Africa, if these young people are gained. And look at these brothers who are now co-workers 15 years later. And 15 years later, hundreds and hundreds of these young people will become co-workers, amen, leading brothers, amen, families, and they will spread across the country. I believe they would even go beyond the borders of that continent, in the world, amen, in the world, brothers. Amen. Now, I'm coming here this morning to sign up Series B, investments, all right? Okay? That's what I'm doing here. I'm going to tell the USA churches, get in now. Recently, they have this Uber when IPO. It's a little disappointing. You know, they were expecting multiple that, but whatever, but still billions of dollars. Lots of people right now are very happy because they put in a few bucks. Today, they are billionaires overnight. Even after the taxes, they're still billionaires. Brothers, my joke is this. Today, if we put in this money, mammon, huh? Unrighteous mammon, yeah? While the unrighteous mammon still works, okay, in this system, because one day it's not going to be useful anymore. It's like inflation time. Your money means nothing. You might as well use it for toilet paper. It's no good. Now it's still useful. Do you one day want to, at the kingdom, when the kingdom comes, that's IPO, huh? At the judgment seat of Christ, you become a billionaire. Just for a few dollars today, you'll be a billionaire that day. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Brothers, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. I mean, if I'm even a young brother here with $10, I'm going to invest because I'm going to become a billionaire with $10 investment. I like to challenge the churches in this country to give $1 million, not just $250,000. And I like to challenge you in Northern California to give $250,000. That means cover the whole thing. Amen. This round.
Amen.
This family seat round or whatever round.
Amen.
You know, when these things happen, people clamor to invest. They knock over each other to go and invest. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. You say, wait a minute, we still haven't paid off the blending center. You're asking us for this? Absolutely. Shamelessly. Because I know how much money is here. There's a lot of money here among the saints. Don't tell me otherwise. I don't believe you. It's a lie. A lot of money here. You know, the cruises that you go to, the resorts that you go to, that's a lot of money here. How about it?
Amen.
If I were you, I'm going to say, where do I sign up? Where do I have my checkbook. Where do I wire the money?
Amen.
Today? I tell you, in one day, you can sell all the shares. That's it. And then you close. Then that's it. No more. Brothers, I'm not joking. And this morning, I even am sacrificing the burden that we have for this session on the gates and this. I feel this is, you know what? This is the gates. You know, gates have three purposes, if you recall. Number one, for admission, for entrance, you know, coming into the city. Then, excuse me, the second thing for gates is for communication. Not just admission, but communication. Communication actually means traffic or fellowship. Gates are for fellowship. So if your local church is a gated church, that means there's free flow of fellowship. You're not holed up behind a moat with crocodiles in your castle. you know, these hill cities, you know. Recently I'm in Italy, in Tuscany, hill towns, you know. They draw the bridge and isolated, insular, all you care is yourself. No, the gates are for in and out, fellowship. I'd like to see all the churches be healthy, to be fellowship churches, full of traffic. And one kind of fellowship, one very important kind of fellowship, is what Paul calls the fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel, which is this. Brothers, we are not for our localities. We're not even for our region. We're not even for our country. We are for the Lord's move on the whole earth.
Amen.
Ethiopia is a part of us. We have an unprecedented opportunity. Paul calls this an indescribable gift. Immeasurable gift. Opportunity, chance to have a share in this great present great move of the Lord in Africa. We are not even there. We don't even need to go there. But by our giving of our material possessions, we actually share in that grace. You are partakers with me together of this grace.
Amen.
Brothers, wow. I mean, I told the brothers, if you won't do it, I'm going to buy it all. And I'm going to be a super billionaire.
Yeah.
Sorry, you'll be out. You have nothing. I'll be the billionaire in the kingdom. I mean it. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. Me, just me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find my family and friends. I'm going to get on the phone right now. I'm going to get the money. You know what is me, family and friends, to get the money? It's called the church in Irvine. No, I'm not joking. No, I'm not joking. This morning, I have no time to write the email. After today, I'm going to write the email and tell the elders, charge the elders, if nothing else, Irvine, if you can cover $250,000, do it. Church in Irvine, just the church in Irvine. You think I'm crazy, right? You know, the first investors in some of these startups are crazy. It's a high-risk game. High risk. You may lose everything. But I have a hunch. Not only I won't lose everything, I will gain everything.
Amen.
You know, Paul did the math. That's why he say all things is dung. He said filth, trash. Not only his Jewish, Judaistic attainment. He said, I count all things as loss.
Amen.
He did his math. This is a sober guy. He didn't smoke something, okay? He is a sober guy. Did the math and said, trash. Everything is trash. I'm giving up my whole life to gain Christ.
Amen.
Look, today he is a zillionaire. Paul is a zillionaire today. And just wait till the kingdom. There's a crown, he said, waiting for me. Brothers, count, do your counting with eternity in view, with the kingdom in view. Don't just look at today, how much dollars in your bank account. No. You have to look at how much those dollars can translate into zillion dollars in that day in the form of people waiting for you in the eternal tabernacles.
Amen.
There'll be thousands of Ethiopians coming and say, thank you. That's the billionaire. That's the zillionaire. Makes today what you have pales in comparison. Don't hold on to what you have. Be generous, super generous in giving and giving and giving. So, I like to read to you this morning, for all of our learning, myself included. I want to read you these two chapters of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And you have to go back and read it, and with the footnotes. I have no time. And I'm not expounding. I'm just reading. But I think this word will be not only convicting, but very, very inciting and stirring. So the backdrop is the apostle, Paul, fellowshipping concerning this grace, this ministry of material riches to take care of the needy saints in Judea. All right? So the apostle was the conduit. The apostle was the facilitator, the messenger of this. So he was speaking to the churches there in the church in Corinth, and he was boasting about the churches in Macedonia, how much they give in their poverty, how much they gave, because they experience this grace. That's why we sang the song Grace. You know, grace in the highest definition is, brothers, grace is the triune God being everything to us, right? For our enjoyment and so on. We all know this for our daily experience. But let me tell you, this particular grace of giving, sharing, partaking in the fellowship of material riches to meet the needs of the Lord's body is a great grace. Huge, great grace. All right, I'm just going to read. Furthermore, this is chapter 8, we make known to you, brothers, the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. So he's going to tell the story about Macedonian churches to show them what grace they have experienced of God. That in much proving of affliction, okay, they were afflicted, they were persecuted, they were suffering. The abundance of their joy and the depth of their poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I just love this. These are poor churches, but in affliction, but yet in that affliction they were full of they have the abundance of joy. This joy make you crazy, then do crazy, unreasonable things. And even in the depth of their poverty, there's a kind of abounding going on. And that is the abounding unto the riches of their, what? Of their liberality. It's a kind of liberality. It's a kind of singleness, a kind of single-mindedness. A kind of a simplicity. You know, people who think a lot, they don't give. You know, every nickel and dime. People who are kind of simplistic, they don't know even how much money they have. They just write checks, overdraw it, you know. That's simplicity, you know. You don't calculate. Not so calculating. What would be the tax ramification? That's not simple. That's just calculating. You give according to Uncle Sam, according to IRS code. That's not the way to give. All right. Okay, go on. That according to their power, I testify, and beyond their power of their own accord. I mean, grace means above and beyond. That's grace. If it's just meeting the need, that's not grace. That's just meeting the need. When it superabounds, when it abounds, you know, whenever grace is mentioned by Paul in the New Testament, it's always with these phrases, surpassing, superabounding, you know, that's grace. That is the feature of grace. It's abounding. It's boundless. It just go beyond measure. With much entreaty, they besought us. Look, these poor people, they even come to Paul and say, give us a chance. You know, they have no money. You know, they're two pockets like this. Please give us a chance to give more. Anything else? They besought us the grace, grace again, and the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. They just are addicted to ministering to the saints. They just want every chance and beg the apostle to give them more opportunities to have the grace and this fellowship. And this, not as we had hoped, but they gave themselves. You know, even the apostle didn't have that kind of expectation of these Macedonian churches. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us through the will of God. They trust the apostles. The apostle. They just, please, Paul, we give it to you, and through you, you know the need. You take care of it. So we entreated Titus that even as he began before, so also he would complete for you this grace as well. So Titus was helping with this, all right? To have a part in this. The operation of this grace. 7, but just as you abound in everything, Corinthians, you abound everything. You got everything in faith, in word, in knowledge, and in all earnest, in love. Paul was appraising them in you from and the love in you from us. Abound in this grace also. Don't miss this grace. You got everything. You're so rich, you're spiritually, everything. But don't miss out on this grace as well. Paul was taking his time to touch this grace. But just as, 8, I'm not speaking by way of command. No commandment here. No requirement here. But through the earnestness of others, other saints, other churches, like Macedonians, proving also the genuineness of your love. So Paul is doing a bit of appealing. If you are genuine, your love for me, for us, you partake of this grace, to abound in this grace also. But I'm not requiring. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, in order that because of his poverty might become rich, that we may become rich. You know, you have a note 7-5, four parties of grace. You know, the first is God, the second are the apostles, the third is the believers, and the fourth is Christ. Four parties involved in this operation of grace. So here's this talking about the Lord himself. And I give my opinion in this matter, for this is profitable for you who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but even to intend to do this. But now complete also the doing, so that as there was the eagerness in intending, so also there would be the completing out of what you have. You started out good, but how about completing this? And if you, the eagerness is there, it is acceptable according to whatever one has. So it is never requiring. There's no formula, okay? It is whatever you have. You know, Paul's word in 1 Corinthians, you know, the first epistle at the end, he said everyone should gather what they have according to how the Lord has prospered you. You remember that? On the first day of the week, right? It's talking about the regular giving. So no pressure, no requirement, according to what you have and not according to what he does not have. For it is not that to others that would be relief, yet that there would be relief, yet to you affliction, but it is out of equality. At the present time, your abundance of their lack, that their abundance also may be for your lack, so that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. This is divine communism. Amen. Do you know communism is actually divine? Not Stalin's communism, huh? But the body communism. No equality. Hey, thank the Lord for Mr. Trump. the U.S. is right now doing quite well. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Am I right? Booming business, whatever, whatever. I'm not for Trump. I'm saying it's pretty good, you know? Yeah? That's not the case in Ethiopia. Third world country, still very much in need. Brothers, what is all that about in the U.S.? Just to be rich, just to be enriched, just to be wealthy? Is that what we're here for? Is that what we're here for? But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. I like this word, earnestness. Earnestness. So Titus was exercising, serving in a very burdened kind of way, very earnest kind of way, very diligent kind of way. So when it comes to this matter, it's not like, well, we'll see, you know, maybe next year or maybe next month. No, no, there's a kind of earnestness even in this material giving. Oh, I just love this. I just love this. So beautiful. Okay, because he not only received the entreaty, of the apostle, but being more earnest, he also went forth on his own accord to you. No. He himself became earnest. He was not even just representing Paul. He himself got the burden. Brothers, I hope that it's not just because I'm here talking. You are earnest, and you will talk to the saints and the elders and whoever, because you are earnest. Okay, and we send together with him the brother whose praise in the gospel is throughout all the churches, and not only this, but who has also been selected by the churches as your fellow traveler in this grace which is being ministered by us. See, this is another party, okay, of grace to the glory of the Lord himself and to demonstrate our eagerness. So, for the sake of propriety, testimony, there's another brother. Okay, 20, avoiding this that anyone should find fault with us in this abundance which is being ministered by us. Abundance of what? Abundance of material. Not spiritual, material things. Okay? So Paul was just trying to make sure there's a proper testimony and care on the money matters. Okay, for we exercise foresight for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Okay, and we send them with our brother, whom we have proved to be diligent in many, many things in many times, yet now much more diligent because of this great confidence he has towards you. These faithful brothers. This is a third one. There was two, Titus, another one, and this is a third one, so that by two or three witnesses, the testimony can be established. Okay, Paul was just being very, very careful. Okay. Whether coming concerning Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker for you, or our brothers, the two brothers, they are apostles of the churches. They are Christ's glory. Show them, therefore, to them, in the face of the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting of your behalf. Corinthians, I'm boasting about you to others. Amen. Prove it. Don't let my boast in you be in vain. The check doesn't come through, It bounced, That's not good for my face, And for, okay, all right. Now, 9, let me finish 9, chapter 9. For concerning the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Now, he needs another chapter to finish this up. For I know your eagerness, of which I boast on your behalf to the Macedonians. He boasts Macedonians. to the Corinthians, he boasts about the Corinthians to the Macedonians, that Achaia, this is where Corinth is, has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up the greater number of them. But I send the brothers that our boasting on your behalf might not be made void in this respect, that, as I said, you might be prepared. So when I come or when the brothers come, you don't scramble. You're already prepared. You have already done your work. Lest, if the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, not to mention you, okay, be put to shame in this confidence. There's a certain confidence. Certain confidence. You know, in the past giving in the in this country, the Bay Area is one of the main areas of giving. I would tell you second to Southern California of all the regions in this country. Like the MCC, like, you know, the various major projects, Bay Area is always number two. Number two, more than any other regions in the country. So, may I say, I have some confidence in you. Amen. And I hope you are not found unprepared. That my boasting may be in vain, because I do boast about you in certain situations. Therefore, I thought it necessary to entreat the brothers to go before to you and make ready beforehand your previously promised blessing. All right? Promised blessing. That means, again, blessing, again, is this gift, this bountiful gift, this generosity that become a blessing to others. In this case, the needy saints. Okay. That thus this might be ready as a blessing and not as a matter of covetousness. That means, so it doesn't look like what? You are just doing this begrudgingly to the apostles. So the apostles have to kind of pull teeth, you know, and you begrudgingly give. He said, that's not good. That's covetousness. No, let this not be something covetous, but a promised blessing. Let this be a blessing. You know, it is blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. Actually, the Lord, this word is not found in the Gospels, but it's in Acts. The Lord said that. Someone remember the Lord said that. It is true, brothers. The blessing is in always in giving more than in receiving. Amen. Receiving is a blessing, but it cannot compare with giving. But take note of this. He who sows, now he coming to the whole, what, analogy or metaphor of sowing. He who sows sparingly shall also sparingly reap. And he who sows with blessings, that means with bounty, okay, with bounty, with abundance, will also with blessings reap. You give little, begrudgingly, you reap something, but meagerly. But if you give with liberality, generosity, above and beyond, I tell you, you will receive blessings likewise. Each one as he has purpose in his heart. Again, there's no pressure, no formula. Don't compare with each other. Not out of sorrow or out of necessity even, for God loves a cheerful giver. This word in Greek is the word hilaron, from which the English word hilarious comes from. You know hilarious? This is hilarious. That means what? Huh? What does hilarious mean? Huh? It's so so funny. It is so joyful. It is so unbelievable, am I right? Hilarious. This is, huh? Versus what? Sorrow. Oh, they're asking for money again, you know? Oh, I, you know, my account is already not doing so well, and they're asking again. I just gave X, and they're asking for Y again. I have not even replenished it yet, you know, and they're asking for again. God doesn't love that giving. You might as well not give if it's like that. God doesn't need your money. He's giving you the grace to have a share. You got it all wrong. You're not doing God no favor. If he's not for you, you don't have a dime to your name. It's all the Lord's blessings. So God loves a cheerful giver. You know, the more you give, the happier you become. This is counterintuitive. The more you give, the sadder you should become, because the less you have. But to those who are graced, the more they give, they know the more they will reap.
Amen.
So they're cheerful. Okay, and God is able to make all grace. You see, Paul comes back to grace, this time all grace. That means all kinds of grace, not even materially. If you give materially, you will receive grace that is beyond material.
Amen.
From God, in all kinds of ways. I can testify to this. I can really testify to this. I just don't know where the grace came from. All kinds of grace. All right. Okay. That in everything, always, having all sufficiency, you may abound unto every good work. Even as it is written, he has scattered abroad, Africa. Amen?
Amen.
Not just domestic, abroad. He has given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. You don't know who you're giving to of these 2,300. There's a name behind every one of these ones. There's a history. There's a family. There's a life. You don't know it. God knows it. You are giving to that. You know, you see this thing from World Vision. Give $20 and it will feed a child for a month, you know. And with this emaciated child there, you write the check, you know. Brothers, this is in a way the same. You don't know who that child is. That's just a picture, a stock photo, a file photo. But you trust whoever that organization is that it will help a child like that, you know, with meals and food. Brothers, in a very good sense, what we're giving is to giving to the needy. These are young people that we don't even know from Adam. They need $105 so they can have a chance to know God's economy.
Amen.
That's more than what $105 can do. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you give $1,000 to someone if they can come to know God's economy?
Amen.
And it's 105 only. It's a very good deal. We don't know who someone of them will become an apostle in Africa. No, I'm not joking, brothers. I am not joking. You don't know. You think, oh, it's a watchman's game. And church history has proven this over and over again. How many hidden, unsung, unknown donation have produced servants of the Lord, impacting the world forever? Talk about impact investment. You know, today the big thing is impact investment. Nothing more impact than this, tell you the truth. It has to do with the coming kingdom. Okay, let me finish. Even as written, he who has scattered abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now, he who bountifully supplies the seeds to the sower, that means to us, and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed and cause the fruits of your righteousness to increase. God is just in the business of what? Multiplying. You have this, you know, in your bank account, you know, earning 2%, whatever, or whatever, the CD, whatever, treasury, whatever. I don't know what it is. I can guarantee you what you invest here will be a lot more than 2%. Okay, a way lot more than that. Because it is in the hands of the blessing God that just two loaves, five fish, feeds 7,000. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable that $105 will eventually feed millions through the person that is gained. Now he who... Okay, I read that already. You in everything are being enriched unto all liberality, you Corinthians, which works out through thanksgiving to God. You give this way. We give thanks to God. We, the apostle, give thanks to God because the ministry of this service, this is a very special service. It's a priestly service. It's not only filling up the lack of the saints. It is. But it is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Brothers, one day what you give will result in a lot of thanksgiving. Without the giving of these churches in the USA, this would not happen. That would not happen. This person would not have gained. That person would not. You see what I'm saying? There will be abundant of thanksgiving in the coming years and decades. Even after you die, the thanksgiving is still rolling on. They, through the approving of this ministry, so the needy saints who receive the help, they would approve this ministry of Paul, who gave, with the help of the churches in Achaia and Macedonia, which is really Europe. This is back to the Jewish land, the Jewish part of the body, are glorifying God based upon the subjection unto the gospel of Christ that issues from your confession and upon the liberality of the fellowship to them and your to all. Do you see the traffic here? I tell you, the material giving facilitates such divine traffic in the Lord's body, where the giver would receive the blessing and those who are receiving would also receive the blessing. There is thanksgiving all around and the gospel of Christ flourish. The apostles approved and happy. And my, do you see this one new man here? I mean, this is very important because it's really one new man. It is crossing the boundary from Gentile part of the body giving to the Jewish part of the body. This is significant. To declare there's no boundary in the body.
Amen.
We are one new man.
Amen.
This is a great thing. Paul was using this actually to blend two parts of the body together. Do you know this giving is going to blend the USA and Africa
Amen.
Into a new man?
Amen.
I mean, that in itself is worthwhile.
Amen.
And that the Northern California is now blended with Addis Ababa.
Amen.
And it will be noted. Oh, this is for the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Brothers, really. I'm not here now just asking for money. I'm burdened for blending.
Amen.
I'm burdened for the body.
Amen.
That the churches in Northern California are truly in the reality of the body.
Amen.
We're not for our locality, not even our region,
Amen.
Nor U.S. our country. We are for the Lord and His body on the earth. Okay, let's finish. While in petition on your behalf, they also long after you on account of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Do you know what's happening? That means these recipients in the Jewish land, because of what they receive, they pray for you. You're in affliction. Now, the blending in the body, the Jewish part is praying for the Gentile part. They, They are just traffic, communication, and fellowship, longing for one another. Wow, what grace God has given to you. Then he ended by this exclamation, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." How about this, brothers? Undescribable gift. This grace that is given to all of us, the believers. Indescribable. All right, brothers, that's my first session. This is not a fundraising. This is a lesson on prudent impact investment. I'm really helping you to be rich. Even on the day when money is useless, I want to make sure you'll be rich. In fact, you'll be wealthy. In fact, you'll be super wealthy. But actually, I'll tell you, even before that day, the thanksgiving will abound to God.
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
Brothers, 250,000. To me, it's nothing. Really, really. I know Northern California is nothing. We can do it in a day. Really, brothers? If the earnestness is there, if this view is there. How about we just have a few prayer and we can stop at 10:15, Don, and then have a break of 15 minutes or something like that. Let's have a few. How about we just pray side by side? And